Hi, welcome to ZCast. This is episode 2, and this time I'm going to talk about my experience at DevOps Days MSP. I'm going to talk about some updates I've made to my home studio, do some updates I'm working on for my home lab, how I take notes, the Praise My GitHub Profile app that went viral, and some of my fears being realized about AI stuff. So with all that out of the way, let's delve right into it. Yeah, like I said, I went to DevOps Days MSP in Minneapolis, Minnesota this week. I was there to speak. I did another take on my social network on a whiteboard talk. If you haven't seen that one, I highly suggest it. It's in the show notes. It is a story, and in that story, I go through an imaginary startup and how it met all of the challenges and scaled to meet the needs. And most of all, it's actually kind of a stand-up comedy talk in a way. A lot of the logic I have for making my talks about serious things kind of funny is, like, number one, I'm kind of better at writing humor than I am at writing serious stuff. I have resting sarcasm face, and a lot of the times when I'm speaking seriously about things, people will incorrectly interpret it as sarcasm because I'm just good at humor. It sucks. And I also figure that by making it funny, it'll stand out in people's minds more and they'll remember the lessons that are being taught there. Yeah, I think it was probably the best talk that I've ever done. It landed really well. I don't think I used any hesitation words. I know that a lot of people don't care about hesitation words, but I really notice them, especially because I'm the one that has to edit everything that I'm saying. Either way, that was a really good talk. People approached me after. We had some great conversations. I actually talked with a bunch of nerds, and we nerded out about video games, unsurprisingly. And the biggest thing that we managed to nerd about was me info dumping about why I like Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Fantastic game. I could probably do a half-hour talk on that game and not run out of things to say, unprepared. And in terms of video production stuff, I have done some upgrades to my home studio, mostly so that I can have better lighting. And so now I have two big giant light emitting diodes. The actual diodes for these things are about the size of a CPU die. They are absolutely ridiculous. I love it so much. Oh yeah, the lights are also really, really bright if you stare right into them. So pro tip, don't. It's kind of hard not to. The light box does help, although assembling that was kind of a huge pain. Had to end up finding a video in pretty literally translated Chinese. That was kind of endearing, actually. I don't know why, but just literally translated Chinese is an absolute vibe. And I know some Mandarin, so I was able to get the gist of it, but it just feels so much more honest. I don't know. I'd much rather people do, like, literally translated Chinese and have somebody with, like, a heavy Chinese accent doing the video than an AI voiceover. Quick progress update on the podcast itself. I am working on making an RSS feed. It is slightly complicated because I'm doing this basically myself without using an existing podcast hosting platform. I will have the RSS feed up by next week. I'm taking my time with this because the first couple episodes of this podcast are just going to be bad, and I kind of want to get the bad episodes out of the way so that we can have the good episodes afterwards. Updates on my home lab. This week, I have been messing around with it a bit more, and I enabled GPUs in Talos Linux. Talos Linux is a Linux implementation that runs Kubernetes and basically nothing else. And one of the interesting parts about Talos Linux is that it is incredibly declarative, except for when it comes to system extensions. Now, system extensions are how you install things like GPU firmware, CPU microcode, all that good stuff. And one of the extensions is the proprietary NVIDIA driver. And in order to use CUDA from Linux, you have to install the proprietary NVIDIA GPU driver. This means that you have to have a different Talos installation schematic. Previously, I've kind of avoided this because in my testing, when my home lab was still very new, I figured out that if you try to load the NVIDIA kernel module on a machine that doesn't have an NVIDIA card, it will just hang forever because the module will correctly identify that it doesn't need to be loaded and unload itself. but the rest of the system will expect the NVIDIA module to be loaded and block booting on that. So that's kind of annoying, and that's why I omitted that for now, just to get everything working. And now I think I'm at a point where I can a bit safely run multiple different schematics of Talos Linux. And yeah, I have a non-NVIDIA schematic for the one machine in my home lab without an NVIDIA GPU, and for the other machines that have NVIDIA GPUs, there's the NVIDIA schematic. I also had to do some node labels to label the machines with the kind of GPU they have so that the RTX 2060 wouldn't get large language model inference jobs, because that's more for the 3060 with 12 gigs of VRAM. Although I'm pretty sure I could actually run Llama 3.1 8B at maybe 4K context length on the 2060. Gonna have to try that. That'd be kind of cool. One of the main things I'm thinking about using this for is hooking it up to my HomePod using an iOS shortcut and an HTTP ingress into Kubernetes. Our HomePod is what we use in the kitchen for timers and listening to music. We have been running into an issue where, well, this is the predictable issue that Siri is kind of dumb, which is kind of both like a feature and an annoyance. When I chose the smart speaker that I was comfortable with having in the kitchen, I intentionally chose the HomePod, purposely because Siri is very limited and there is minimal splash damage and the like from having it, and because Apple's business model is not making profit off of user data like Amazon or Google's. My hands were a bit tied and I ended up getting a HomePod, and the HomePod does work great. Siri is just really limited and it's turning from an annoyance to an impediment to wanting to use it. One of the main things that I have to ask a smart speaker or something about is to get the safe cooking temperatures for meat. I grew up in the US and I have all of the temperatures memorized in Fahrenheit because I've gone through the food handler course like 3 times. And after a couple times, it just gets embedded into your mind that the safe cooking temperature for chicken, pork, and ground beef is 165 degrees Fahrenheit. And I have to keep remembering what it is in Celsius because our meat thermometer is in Celsius. I've almost got it in my head that it's like 74 Celsius or something. I'd almost really rather just be able to say, "Hey Siri, what's the safe cooking temperature of chicken in Celsius?" and get back 74 degrees. I think I'm gonna wire that up to a large language model on my home lab somehow. Gonna need to do some experimentation. Might also use GPUs in the home lab for Stable Diffusion with the No Way to Prevent This series. Gonna try to spice things up. I feel like part of the point of that series is that the article is the same thing every time, but I'm kind of starting to loathe that the article is the same thing every time. I might end up using AI to summarize things or something. I don't know. I need to do research, development, and experimentation. With that out of the way, this actually segues kind of perfectly into the next bit, how I take notes. I wrote a blog post about this, like 2 years ago? I wrote about my note-taking strategy on my blog a bit ago. It's pretty much the same, except I've kind of compromised a bit and don't always use paper. Usually when I do take notes, I take notes as a bullet tree. As I go in, I get deeper into a topic, but as I go down, I get broad between topics. And I find that this hierarchical method more accurately allows me to represent nuance, thought, and all that other stuff. I mostly do this on paper, which does mean that I can't go back and, you know, add additional bullets deeper in a concept. So I'll just repeat the top level concept and the intermediate stuff and go there. And that does mean that it's slightly inconvenient to do that. So if I notice that there's a topic that's going to go back, I actually make a new page and then put a new top level thing on the opposite page and go there. And this is where I've been compromising on my note-taking strategy by using electronic notes. Usually take it on my MacBook or my iPad. I've actually not been using my iPad that much lately because the battery has been dying really quick. Gotta figure out what's going on there. Probably one of the billion background services that is totally unintrospectable because iPadOS. But when I do take notes electronically, I just do it in Apple Notes because Apple Notes is already there. Apple Notes came for free. I don't have to pay a monthly subscription for Apple Notes. I can't find a less bad note-taking app. But later this year, when the new version of iPadOS with Apple Intelligence comes out, the note-taking experience is just going to get better. I admit that the most of the reason I use Apple Notes is because of inertia. At the same time, I cannot deny that Apple Notes is just good enough that it's fine. I wish there were better ways to integrate it with an API or something. I know that you can use AppleScript and have AppleScript output JSON, but that just seems satanic. I wish there was a better API, but I can live with it like this. Might try doing some freaky indexing into a vector database or something. I do two types of note-taking. I have meeting notes, and then I have biographical notes. Meeting notes are usually when I have top-level topics for each individual thing, and then go deeper as people say things. Sometimes I will mark who's saying what with proxy tags in case that's relevant. Most of the time it's not, so I don't. And most of the meetings that I have at my current employer are one-on-one meetings, so the other side is pretty much implicit. And if I really do need to mark myself, I'll do a little circle with a line in it to mark me. The other one is biographical note, and that's basically just like high-level thing, indent details about that thing, and I don't go more than one level deep. And that's usually a record of what I tried, what happened, what other results fell out from it. And these are the notes that I take when I go write my blog, because I can take those notes and then turn it into a post outline in the same bullet tree format. I love it so much. I'm easily able to take what I've done and then turn it into a blog post and still kind of have it feel like an engineering log. Actually, no, engineering is probably the wrong term. Like a journal almost, except it's really just full of things like, I tried to run this command. It didn't work. I fixed it by doing this, stuff like that. Praise my GitHub profile. A week ago, there was a tool that was going kind of viral called GitHub Profile Roaster. What that did is you put in your GitHub profile, it downloaded some information from the metadata, and then proceeded to say some negative things about you because of it. It used GPT-4o to basically just say mean things, and this didn't really sit well with me, like in a way that I don't really want to go out and replicate, and I definitely don't want to create something that would be that negative to other people. So I made the opposite in like 2 hours in my bed with my MacBook without GitHub Copilot in JavaScript, a language that I'm really not the best with. And what I made is praise my GitHub profile. It takes most of the same information as the GitHub profile roaster and has Llama 3.170b say nice things about you. The really interesting part about the fact that I chose Llama 3.170b is that it is a 70 billion parameter model, and that means that you need a fairly beefy GPU in order to inference it properly. I was running it on an A100 80 gigabyte on a prod machine at work. The A180 gigabyte is what a lot of my other projects like Mimi or some other AI stuff that I use internally. It works really well for my personal use cases. But when you have your website on the front page of Hacker News and lots of people are hitting it constantly, it does not work very well. And you can easily create SRE SYN number one, unbounded work queues. I was effectively giving the GPU more jobs than it was able to accomplish in the rate that it was being given them. It fell over hard, so hard that I wasn't actually able to scale it down because there were so many requests coming in that instantly caused it to scale up. Responding to that was fun. In the process, I tried to scale it up to more A180 gigabyte cards, and that just did not work because I accidentally exhausted the A180 gigabyte capacity in San Jose. And that's not something you can easily work around. There were just no more free GPUs left. I mean, like, part of how I was scaling it is probably also to blame because I like having my GPU replicas on physically separate nodes as much as possible. Way it makes failure of a single computer box less likely to affect the uptime of the service. It probably means that I wanted more GPU hosts than were physically there. Even when you're GPU rich, you're still GPU poor. It was a nightmare. I ended up making it working by doing the secret third type of scaling called diagonal scaling. Now, vertical scaling is when you either increase or decrease the specs of hardware. Horizontal scaling is when you add or remove replicas from the pool. And in my case, diagonal scaling is where I added more worse things to the pool. So I created 7 L40S machines in Seattle, and the L40S is basically an RTX 4090 with twice the VRAM. I created those machines, I put them in the pool, got the models downloaded, and that was what it took to survive being on the front page of Hacker News. It was all worth it in the end because I think that spreading some positivity in the world is the right thing to do, especially with all the negativity out there. We don't need more of it. Speaking of positivity and negativity and AI stuff in general, this week it has been discovered that we are now able to create believable verification photos. For those of you that haven't heard of this concept before, a verification photo is what you give in order to verify that you are a specific person and that you are, you know, alive and consenting to something happening, like in Ask Me Anything on Reddit. And when you do that, you usually have a picture of yourself in a mirror holding a piece of paper that says, like, your name, the subreddit or whatever you're affiliated with, the current date and time. And that's what people use as verification to basically verify that you consented to it, you are the actual genuine person, and everything. Now we can create those ourselves on consumer hardware. I don't know how to feel about this. I know that for a while that we've been getting closer to a post-truth era with regards to AI tools. And there are a subset of people that really want to make photorealistic AI images for whatever reason. I don't. If you've noticed, when I do any AI-generated illustrations, I make sure that it is as artificial as it can be. It either looks like it's in anime style or generic Western illustration style or something that is not captured with a camera and does not reflect genuine reality in any way, shape, or form. And the reason that I do this is because I believe that AI should not be used to generate photorealistic images or deep faking or whatever that is in real time, because there is simply too much potential societal impact and not really that much of a gain. Like, OnlyFans has a bunch of fake people now that make ungodly amounts of money having a GPU hallucinate feet. If this wasn't real, this would be the kind of I would write about in Techaro, because that's funny and sad at the same time. And I don't know, I feel really, really conflicted about all this. Right as I was about to start recording, I came across a GitHub repository called Deep Live Cam. Deep Live Cam is real-time one-click video deepfaking with only a single image, so that you can look like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs or Tim Apple or whoever. I do not know how to feel about this. Thinking about it kind of objectively, there are potential use cases for this that could be more positive. One of the potential use cases could be like taking a picture of yourself professionally done with makeup and hairstyling and whatnot, and then using that as the base for recording podcasts or whatever. And that is a potentially valid use case, but I just feel like the number of invalid use cases or, you know, societally dangerous use cases are just so far outnumbering that one theoretically valid use case. I do not think that this technology should exist. I think that as a society, we need to stop people from making things like this existing and so easily usable, because at some point we're going to have a really difficult time being able to verify if anything is correct. That will mean that we have entered the post-information era, and that would basically be the death of the internet. I hope that people find a legitimate use case for this technology, but I just can't see that the good outweighs the bad here. I really hope I'm wrong. Like, I really hope that I am wrong here, but I think that this should not exist. Now that we've gotten past the existential angst part of the podcast, since the last episode, a new image generation AI model has been released from Black Forest Labs called Flux, and I'm going to be setting it up on probably an A100 and doing some experimentation with it. I might use it for the No Way to Prevent This series if I can get some good results. Would be really hilarious to have you know, the sad businessman with a whiteboard that says open SSL CVE 2024 42069 or whatever. Make sure it's like super anime looking. I have lots of really mixed feelings about AI stuff, if you can tell. Like, there's a lot of interesting ways that you can use it artistically, but I don't know. It just feels like a lot of the good is outweighed by the bad. Yeah, I'm incredibly internally conflicted about this. I need to write about it at some point. It's just, I am so internally conflicted about it that I don't even know where to start. That's kind of a problem for writing about all this. I don't know. And with that, thanks for listening to ZCast. I hope that this was entertaining. I hope that you got some ideas as to what I've been thinking about, what I've been working on, and what I want to make next. And I hope you really just have a good day. Take care of yourself, stay hydrated, and just go easy on yourself. It's been hard for everyone, and there's no reason to beat yourself up. Either way, stay well, stay frosty, and hit that subscribe button. See ya.